And for those of you that are visiting, or maybe you've been away for a while and you decided to come to church this morning, and you're wondering, Joe, the church is looking empty this morning. What's going on? If you are one of those type of people, I'm going to be preaching on positive thinking. I'm joking. No, we've got 70 ladies away on a camp at the moment. So my life has been fun. I've been preparing a sermon and looking after Joel without any assistance whatsoever. Mama, I should take the offering up now. This bag's for me. My mom and both grannies are away on the ladies' camp, so they're all away. And so the 70 ladies, can you believe that? 74, I think, was the total number of ladies that went away on the camp. So, I mean, that is huge. Do you know how most churches in the world are under 50? We have a ladies' camp of 74 people. It's phenomenal. This church is a powerhouse. Amen. And also, on top of the ladies' camp, Steve and Terry are away in Ossuswini, that's just outside Newcastle. And they're ministering there. They've taken a team of about 15 guys with them. So we really are an apostolic church. If you go to the life groups and you watch those DVDs, I think this week's coming DVD, you'll see, which, by the way, is in the bookshop. You can get them in the bookshop, life group leaders. Rob actually says this is an apostolic house. And an apostolic house means a sending house. This is a house that sends. And last week, Steve preached on we are a church that isn't a pool of Bethesda. We're a church that is the river of Ezekiel, leaving the temple and going into the nations. And so we really are going church. And I want to pray for Steve and Terry right now. So won't you just agree with me that this morning miracles would take place? Father, we do right now. We thank you that your gospel is confirmed with signs and wonders. And this message that we are preaching, Lord, we are so confident that miracles, signs, and wonders will confirm your word this morning. We stand in agreement together as a local house for Steve as he ministers, for Terry and the team this morning. Every hand that gets laid on people this morning, there would be miracles, there would be transformation, there would be lives touched, there would be lives changed this morning in Jesus' name. We declare open passageways. There would be no obstruction to preaching of the gospel. Open passageways, open hearts in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for refreshing over Terry. As he's just done conference after conference this year, we thank you for refreshing over Steve right now. Your rivers of living water to refresh them and empower them this morning in Jesus' name. And even right now, the ladies, we lift up the ladies before you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing something in their lives that is going to touch the nations, Lord. We thank you, Father, that this morning, I think it's Janet is preaching. Lord, you would anoint Janet. You would open up ladies' hearts to hear your word, to hear how good you are, Lord. And I thank you for encounters, for life-changing encounters, for every single one of those ladies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, that's an exciting way to start. Lots on the go. And this morning, the Holy Spirit was moving so much, and if you didn't feel that, then I really pray that you will during the preaching. But the Lord actually started ministering to me so much that I felt to pull out another preach. So, you know, one of those where you prepare a sermon amidst looking after a baby, and then the Lord says, try this. And then you've got to get your computer out and quickly see if you can still remember it. So we're going to have a look at some stuff this morning called the Love Revolution. Some of you may have heard this at Fusion or on a Sunday night, but I really felt like there's an atmosphere this morning that is conducive to this message, the Love Revolution. And I wanted to open up with Song of Songs. So I hope you're there. Song of Songs from chapter 1 and verse 1. By the way, thank you to whoever got me water. Who was that? Doug. Wow. Well done, Doug. Thank you so much. We actually, I got a BBM from my good friend Andrew last night saying that he's on duty and he didn't know where the water was. Him and Jen are on duty covering for the office staff. You know what? I love seeing the church just come together. This morning, like half, in fact, more than half of the admin people are away. Michelle van der Vesthuizen just jumped in to help out with the offering and all that. Jennifer and Andrew have jumped in to help out. So really want to honor you guys and say thank you. Let's just give them a hand. Just thank you guys for your work. And thank you, Doug, for the water. Well done, bro. I need it. I really, really need that. Thank you. But you know, I really want to honor Michelle this morning as well. You know, we talk, there's terms like flaky people. And Karina and I have seen it in leaders. Elders see it. We're going to get to Song of Songs, by the way. But often you see people come into the presence of God, and they love the presence of God. And we hear this in other churches all the time. As a church, honestly, as a culture, we're not the most embracing church of the move of God. Now, I'm not saying we are not embracing. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But there are churches that are so embracing that, you know, it's you can't even get up and preach. You can't share anything because everyone's just like, you know, just crazy. And it's, you know, people come in and they're like, whoa, and they go. And then the church stays at 10 people and they wonder why. Paul did say, he spoke about the move of the Spirit in our churches where he said, I would rather you prophesy than speak in tongues, because if you prophesy, then an unbeliever will come in and he'll be ministered to. And so sometimes the move of the Spirit, people don't understand it, and we need to be sensitive. And we get people, I see people, because we, although we are not the most embracing, we are still a very embracing church of the Holy Spirit, of the move, of the power of God. We believe in the power of God. We are not just a theoretic church that believes one day maybe God will move. No, we know God moves today and we love his presence. And in that environment, we get a lot of people come and they're like, oh, yes, the presence of God. And then they come to the front and it's, oh, yeah, glory. And they fall over and their life's in a mess. They can't keep in their relationships. They hurt people. They can't keep a job. And the term for that is, for want of a better term, is flaky. They're just called flaky people. Why? Because there's no substance. You know, it's like those dandelions that Michelle was talking about. When you touch them, it just falls apart. You love the presence of God and you manifest, you really love the presence of God. That's awesome. But where's the substance in what's going on? And that's why I honor Michelle so much. Because she is not afraid of the presence of God. And she's not afraid of what people think about her when the presence of God is moving. And she knows how to tap in. She has tuned in to a place of going in. And yet she is a woman of substance. When you need her, she's there. She is faithful. She has been through hurts like you can't believe, and yet she remains faithful. She loves the local church. Do you know how many people, those flaky people? Do you know, and we've seen it, church. Some of you may not even know what I'm talking about, but I really feel to talk about it this morning because some of you do. We have seen it in our church where people have left the church because now they're so into the presence of God that we don't need institutional church. We don't need local church. I tell you what, I'm so excited about Carlo and Nicola who've had Eva and all the children in this local church, because do you know what? As an institutional local congregation, families are going to grow up and the kids are going to have friends. There's a community around what's going on, which cannot happen unless there is institutional administration. The local church, it needs institution. It needs administration, but it needs to be done in a loving way. And people react against it. It's like, oh, I just want the presence of God, man. We're just going to meet in, you know, my gazebo. And if we fall over, we can fall in the pool. And it's just, and they leave. And there's, you see them a year later, there's no substance. But I tell you what, Michelle has stuck it through. And I really honor that about Michelle. This Sunday, there was no one to help out with the offering, overseeing the offering team. Michelle jumped up. She said, I'll do it. And she's a woman of substance. And so I want to tell you, church, we love the presence of God. But we also believe in substantial work that happens within our souls. Amen? Now, the most powerful way for that to happen is love. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. I just felt the Lord just was stirring me up on that stuff there as well. So that was for free. This stuff you got to pay for. Right, here we go. Finally, Song of Songs 1, verse 1. Solomon's Song of Songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Now, the Song of Songs in Hebrew culture is not allowed to be read to children under the age of 13. Do you know that? Because it is so graphic. That is a graphic statement. Let him take me into his chambers. If you don't know what that's talking about, I'm not going to explain it. Please ask your mom or your dad or something. And if you're like me and your mom's on a ladies' camp, ask the Holy Spirit. But you see, the beloved there, that is the beloved talking. The beloved is who? No, the beloved is you and I. Remember what John said? John said, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved. That's the beloved talking. That's you and I talking, saying, let him kiss me. Oh, I just want to go into his chambers. I want to be intimate with him. We are called to an intimacy with our Savior that goes just beyond an intellectual knowing. We are called to a deep soul connection, a spirit-to-spirit connection. This is what the relationship with Jesus is all about. It's not just intellectual knowledge. It's about intimate knowing. You know when you know someone? When Adam was intimate with Eve and they conceived their first child, I think it was Cain, the Bible says that Adam knew his wife Eve. There's a knowing that comes with that kind of intimacy. And this morning I want to talk about knowing your Savior. What is Jesus really like? The friends go on to say, in the second part of verse 4, we rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. I love this the second time. We're only in verse 4, and it's the second time that wine is compared to Jesus. The first miracle Jesus does is he turns water into wine. There's something about Jesus that is fun. There's something about Jesus that is delightful. There's something about the love of Jesus that's intoxicating. That actually you can't comprehend what's going on. I don't understand what's happening right now because I'm just so in love. Hello, snap out of it. Hello, hello. Sorry, I'm just in love. My friend Graham over here, I can't even look at him straight because I can see his eyes are like, shh. You know how many times after church he comes and he's talking to me, he's like, oh. He is a lover. He's a lover. Julia, you're blessed, eh? He's a lover because he knows the love of Jesus. And I really pray this morning that Holy Spirit would awaken that love in your heart this morning. Because many of us have had parents who weren't very affectionate, who didn't show love. Our culture today doesn't like to show love. Many of us have had wounded families, relationships. And I tell you what, if we come into a relationship with Jesus, with those wounds, it's going to affect the way we allow him to love us. We are his beloved. And if we know what he's like, we will long to be intimate with him. Wow. Okay. So, let's have a look at this. The love revolution. We are in the most exciting age in history. See, what we are entering into is greater than the Renaissance. It's greater than World War I. It's greater than World War II. This is historic times that we are stepping into. And these times are based on people rising up who know their lover. This is a revelation of the love of God. So what I want to do is I want to share four pillars that we need to understand. These pillars, if we understand these pillars, our life becomes a revolutionary life. It moves just beyond living day to day. It moves into a realm of purpose. When you're in love, you feel like your life has purpose, even though it's just a relationship. What is that relationship going to do? Well, I tell you what, that relationship is one day going to bear fruit, and you're going to have children that are going to impact the world. We are moving into a revolution where we are going to produce fruit that is truly going to change the world. I really mean that. We are a river flowing out of this temple, and that river is a river of love. The world doesn't know true love. How are we going to love the sinners? You notice there in Song of Songs where the friends were the ones saying, "We delight in you, lover, your lover." Talking about Jesus, talking about the lover, the beloved's lover. "We delight in you. We praise your love more than we praise wine." That's the friends. That's the world around looking at the beloved's lover saying, "He is so awesome. All the maidens love him." Friends, Jesus attracted the stinking sinners, the people that we wouldn't even greet in this church. It's shocking. Friends, how are we going to treat the gays? How are we going to treat the prostitutes, the immoral? How are we going to treat these people? Now, is this just a free for all? Oh, no ways. Jesus, his love was so strong and so powerful that it actually caused change in people's lives. The church for so long has picketed and placarded against sin, where we should be loving those people. And that love will cause internal change. Our Christian lives for so long have been based on external facades that we put up. But grace rips the facades away. And what's left is what's really going on inside. And grace is meant to get to the heart where we suddenly are so impacted by true love, unconditional love, that it just flows out. And that's where we're going into. It takes years of soaking in this relationship. Go and read the book of Hosea. God told Hosea to marry a prostitute. And she kept sinning against him. She kept going back to her old ways of prostitution. But God said, "You go back to her. You go back to her." True love doesn't care about what people have done to us, how much they've hurt us. It's, "I'm going to love you so much that it hurts." The first pillar that we have to understand is, it's twofold. Number one, God is love. He doesn't have love. You need to understand this. God is love. It is his substance. It is something like, are there any scientists here? What's the percentage of the universe made up of hydrogen? Is it hydrogen? Is it like, any scientist, come on. Somebody must know. 98. Is it 98%? I thought it was something. It's somewhere in the 90s. Something like 90%. Come on, Graham, you did science. Something like 90% of the universe is made up of hydrogen. 100% of God is made up of love. That is his substance. every atom, every molecule in the universe has hydrogen in it. Every atom, every molecule of God has love in it. Unconditional, absolute, want to throw my arms around you and hug you until you just, you can't do anything but receive my love. It has that love. He is love, which in turn makes him. So this point is actually this. Let me just read the sentence. So if you're writing down, you can do that. God is love, and he is incomprehensibly good. I say incomprehensibly because our fallen minds, which need renewing, cannot understand it. We look at this fallen world, we experience bad things, we cannot understand how good God is. If you can get Jeremiah 33 verse 11, please, Ryan. Have a look at Jeremiah 33 verse 11. The sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Now, I just want you to understand something here. This chapter is directly after the new covenant is declared. The covenant of grace is declared in Jeremiah 31. I will make a new covenant with them. I will not remember their sins. No longer will I remember their sins. I will not be angry with them again. I will heal them. I will be their God and I will love them. And a couple of chapters later, just two chapters, in fact, it's about a chapter and a half later, we see a wedding. We see a celebration of bride and bridegroom. This is what we've been called into, church. It is a celebration. It is a wedding celebration. You see, if church is not an event, it's a movement, it's a force, then I tell you what, the Sunday services and our services here are the family, the lover and the beloved coming together, celebrating together, and then it's the lover and the beloved going out into the world from that feast to go and minister. Do you see what's going on here? It's a feast. It's a celebration together. And then we're out there and we're doing our thing. And it's coming back. And, oh, I just love you so much. Oh, I just celebrate in your love. That's what church is all about. And look at the new covenant brings us into a wedding feast. And so they're in this wedding feast and they're shouting, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. Say that with me. For the Lord is good. Say it again. Say it like you believe it. For the Lord is good. His love endures for an age. His love endures for a sentence. His love endures for a sermon. His love endures forever. Forever. Yes, he's an emotional guy. God is emotional just like me. And when Joel doesn't eat, he might get angry. He's emotional. But I tell you what, the emotion lasts for a second. His love endures forever. His love never stops. Amen. God is love, and he is incomprehensibly good. I tell you what, there's a generation, there's a church rising up today. I can see it in my generation. I know that I'm part of the younger generation, and I can see it. I'm seeing people around me where people are getting revelation. They are understanding different things of Scripture and of the spiritual realm and what Jesus has accomplished, but they don't care about trying to force their beliefs on other people. I'm seeing it. What they care about is a heart-to-heart connection. Why do you think social networks are just flying into their popular positions right now, where there's a new social network here every week? It's like, first it was, what was it, Facebook, and then it was Twitter, and then it was YouTube became a social network, and then WhatsApp, and now there's all these, there's just social networks like crazy. Why? People want that social connection. They want that connection. People don't care about messages and what do you stand for. It doesn't matter what I stand for. I stand for you, bro. I love you. You're a Muslim. You're a Hindu. I love you. Because it's that relationship, it's that love that is going to truly change them. So secondly, God is love and he is incomprehensibly good. And secondly, he longs for intimacy with you and I. And I use the word long because he is like he thirsts for intimacy with you. He misses you. We can get John 17, 20 to 23 up. John 17, 20 to 23. Jesus is praying and he's about to go to the cross. And Jesus prays, "My prayer is not for them, the disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, this oneness that you and I feel, Father, I pray that they may be one. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Isn't this amazing? This is, I know what some of you are thinking. You're reading that and going, "Help me, James. Explain it for me." I understand that. Because most of the Bible is a locked mystery unless you understand his love for you. What I see here is a Savior about to go to the cross and declaring what the cross is about to accomplish. It's about to accomplish unity for God and his children. Where God has longed to be with his children again, now is the time. Now the time is coming where God is going to be with his children. God is going to be with his people and they are going to be one again. This is what he longs for. So much so, he longs for it so much that he went to the furthest possible depths at the cross to make it happen. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. This is what Hebrews 12, verse 2 is talking about. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." Jesus, I just don't understand why you had to go to the cross. Jesus, I just don't get it. Why do you have to do this? Because he saw what was on the other side. It was a joy. It was a radical delight for him. He couldn't wait. I know what's coming on the other side. There is intimacy and there is relationship coming on the other side that you guys don't even understand yet. And I am willing to go through what I'm about to go through because of what I see. Because of intimacy with my children, with my people. The joy was this. Revelation 21 verse 3. Revelation 21 verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." That was the joy. That was the joy. He is with us right now. He is one with you. If anyone is one with the Lord, he is one spirit with him. You are one with God right now. That is how intimate God is with you. Thirdly, the cross accomplished all that was needed for him and for us, his children. The cross accomplished all that was needed for him and for us, his children. I say for him because the cross needed to kill off the old man. The cross needed to kill off everything that separated. It wasn't just for us. It was for him as well. He wanted to be intimate with us. So he did everything he could because he wanted to be with us. He did everything he could. It wasn't just for us. It was for him as well. He loves you so much that he went to the cross because he wants to be with you. Not just like, oh, guys, okay, well, don't worry, I've set up a redemption plan so you guys can come into heaven. Come on, okay. It's raining outside, so I better open the door so you can come in. Okay, I feel sorry. Please come in. No! What are you guys doing out in the rain? What are you guys doing out in the rain? I'm running out into the rain, and I'm going to go get you. The cross accomplished not just everything for us, but for him as well. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. Don't worry about this one on the screen, Ryan, because I'm going to read it out of a strange translation. It's called the Cotton Patch Translation. You can Google the Cotton Patch. It was written by a guy in America in the, I think it was in the 50s, 60s, round about there. And this just highlights 2 Corinthians 5. And 2 Corinthians 5 is my favorite passage in the Bible. It is such a revelation of God's love. And just listen to this. Paul writing in verse 14. We are convinced, just listen, because it's not coming up on the screen, it's not on your Bible, so just I want you to listen to this, please. We are convinced of this, that one died for us all. In a sense then, we all died when he died for all. So that we may no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was made alive. That's why, from here on out, we pay absolutely no attention to a person's outward appearance. It is true that we once knew Christ physically, but now we do so no longer. Therefore, if a man is a Christian, he is a brand new creation. The old guy is gone. Look, a new man has appeared. This is God's doing all the way through. It is he who, through Christ, bridged the gap between himself and us, and who has given us the job of also bridging the gap. God was in Christ on the day of the cross. God was in Christ hugging the world to himself. He no longer keeps track of men's sins and has planted in us his concern for getting together. So now we represent Christ, and it is as though God were pleading through us. In Christ's behalf, we urge you to open up to God. For our sakes, God put a man who was a stranger to sin into a sinful situation, so that in him we might know what God's goodness really is. In him we might know what God's goodness really is. Now, the traditional translation of that verse is, he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's a really intriguing translation. That in him, we can know what God's goodness really is. Could it be that our righteousness is knowing how good he is? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God, I believe that you are good. God, I believe that you are going to say what you are going to do what you say because you are good. I believe that you're that good. All those promises that are wild and crazy. Really, God? That's insane. But I'm going to believe them because I believe you're good. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Your righteousness is a revelation of God's goodness. He was at the cross hugging each and every one of you. Arms around you tight, holding you and saying, we are one. So that we may know his goodness. And finally, my fourth point, this leaves no room for judgmentalism, criticism, self-righteousness, or religion. Religion is shot in the head once and for all because Jesus loves everyone, no matter what. It's good. The cow can't moo anymore. It's dead. There's no room for religion. There's no room for judging. There's no room for criticism. It's over. Because the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Galatians 5, I think. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You can't have God's kind of faith without expressing it through love. Faith isn't faith unless it's operating in love. Now, I'm all for guidelines. I'm all for protecting. We, as a congregation, we protect each other. If there's a guy who comes in and he's a known murderer, we're not just going to let him free and loose. We're going to speak to him and make sure we're going to keep an eye on him. Why? Because we love everyone else as well. That's why. But we love him. We're not going to say, hey, buddy, you better get out. You're not welcome here. No, we're going to love him in a way that he knows that we love everyone else just as much. You understand the difference? So there's no criticism or judging, but there's still a protective heart. The same goes for all sin. Does this mean, oh, we're for sin? No ways. Jesus is so against sin, he killed it. Jesus was like the Terminator who went in and destroyed everything. He was like, I'm taking you out. I hate sin. I'm going to kill it. That's how much I hate sin. Jesus hates sin. But I tell you what, he hates sin because he loves us. I end with this. Philippians 3, 2 to 9. Please, Ryan. Philippians 3, 2 to 9. And Paul is having a go at the religious of his day. Nothing new, just like his predecessor Jesus, who was shooting holy cows left, right, and center. Philippians 3, 2 to 9, and we are there. Watch out for those dogs. Guys, if you like TBN, watch out for those dogs. Hey, you guys didn't get that. Right. Fortunately, this isn't going to go on TV or radio or anything, so that's okay. You can get every preacher on TBN writing me an email. Am I a dog? Well, I don't know, are you? I love you, so it's okay. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put such confidence in the flesh, I'll tell you something, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. I was the perfect Christian. I had Christianity down to a T. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Not just the stuff that was to my profit, but everything else. I consider it all a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, there it is again. Remember what I said earlier about Adam knowing his wife Eve? For knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to know our Lord, our lover. Help us to know the intimacy of a loving family as Holy Spirit, Father Jesus. Help us, because I don't want anything else. I just want to know. I want to be intimate. For whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that is by faith. Look up here. The righteousness that is by faith. It's hearing the good news. It's hearing the scripture that God loves you unconditionally and going, I believe that. I don't understand it, but I believe it. That's faith. God credits your account with righteousness when you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Before the cross, David said, yes, Lord. I believe that you so want intimacy with us, Lord, that I'm not even going to worship you in Moses' tabernacle. I'm going to make my own tabernacle because I am so confident in how much you want intimacy with us that I'm going to break the law of Moses so that I can be intimate with you. And God said, let me just check Exodus, Leviticus. Who cares? I credit it to you as righteousness, David, because I want to be intimate with you. Paul says, I don't want anything else, Lord. I just want to know you. I don't care how perfect I've been as a Christian. I don't care how much I've done, how much right I've done. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There's no room left for judging other people. There's no room left for criticizing. There's only room for love. Why don't you stand? God is love, and he is incomprehensibly good, and he longs for intimacy with you and I. You know, I can go weeks without a quiet time, Bible study, weeks. I'm being honest with you, I'm a pastor, and you're like, how do you preach? I don't know either. Weeks without those times. But I tell you what, I miss them. And I tell you what, it gets to a stage where I'm like, oh, Jesus, I actually need to stop. Because throughout my days, I'm talking to him. I'm talking to dad. I'm talking to Holy Spirit. I'm talking to my family throughout the day, all the time. But the busyness of life, it's just a, hey there, it's a text message. It's like BBMs. It's, you know, the odd phone call. But nothing beats sitting down one-on-one in the bedroom talking. And sometimes I've just got to stop. I wake up early. I go outside. It's just me and my family. My heavenly family. God longs for intimacy with you, church. And you need to understand that the cross has accomplished everything you need for that intimacy. And that leaves no room for judging, criticizing, self-righteousness, or religion. Right now, I break off shells of religion. I break off condemnation, veils of religion that wants to know more intellectual knowledge than true knowing their lover. Right now, I break it in this place. Every veil broken in the name of Jesus. If you're longing for more intimacy with Jesus, I want you to put your hands up right now to heaven. Just raise your hands, put them out. You don't have to raise them up to the sky. You can just put them out in front of you. But as a sign, just a response that says, Daddy, hug me. Hug me. Just see Dad putting his arms around you right now. Just see Dad. That's it. Coming right now. Holy Spirit, make it real. Make it real. Make it real. Go into the spirit realm. Make it real. Love your children, Dad. Thank you that you love your children so much. Just see him giving you a handkerchief and wiping away the tears. You bury your head into his shoulder. And you feel his love right now. Like many of you are going to start calling God by Daddy. You're going to speak to Jesus like he's your older brother, like he's your lover. You're going to speak to Holy Spirit like you would a mother, like you would your very own family. You're going to start talking to all three persons of the Trinity as a family. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're just breaking away. You're breaking away everything that held people back. Lord, and there's new intimacy in this place. We are a church of intimacy. We are a church who are part of this love revolution. And we say, yes, Lord, we receive your love. We receive your love this morning. Going to the next level in our relationship with you as a church, as a people. We are a people who know you intimately. We know what you are like. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This week there are divine encounters with each and every one of these precious children in their homes, in their offices, on the beach, in a field. There are divine encounters with each and every person this week coming. Church, get ready for your encounter. Make time. I encourage you, make time for an encounter this week, for a conversation with Jesus this week. Be amazed at what he's going to say to you. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just give someone a hug next to you to end the service? Just feel like, just let it out. Let the love out. Give them a big hug. Have a blessed Sunday. See you guys tonight. Who's on worship tonight? Dave again. Dave is on worship. We are having intimate times on Sunday nights. Andrew Block is preaching. So please come along tonight. It's going to be powerful.